Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. No long-term contracts required, just security on your terms. Take control of your business security with Ring Business. Get 24/7 audio video recording to capture everything and look for specific moments efficiently with smart AI search. Install it easily yourself or let our pros do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most. Running it. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Old Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Coming up in a half hour, Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, going to join us. We'll talk Chiefs Bills with him. Another edition of this Chiefs Bills rivalry. Every year they play at least once, sometimes twice.
Usually twice, in fairness. For a team that's not in the same division, that's certainly interesting.
And so we get that. We'll discuss that. We'll go around the NFL a little bit with Ross Tucker. Also get his perspective on what we saw play out on Monday Night Football with the Commanders and also the trickle-down effect that that has for Washington as well. So that's coming up with Ross Tucker a little bit later on in the show today. Plus Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, it's a Wednesday. We're back on the normal schedule. It's Sunday afternoon football and everything. So Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes will speak right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. That's coming up right around 11:45. Hope you guys are having a good start to your Wednesday. You guys can interact with us, 913-586-7965. That, of course, is the Jay's Southland Tow Service text line. Video stream up and running, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and X. And as always, hit that subscribe button. I think it's the top right-hand corner there on YouTube. That way, you don't have to worry about it. You get notified and all that, and you don't miss any of the shows here on 96.5 The Fan.
Or any of the other content, you know? We like to stay busy over there on the social media channels. Love for you to subscribe and interact with the show. As always, this show does a very good job of monitoring the chats. So, you know, if you're trying to interact with us, the text line's a great way to do it, but also the YouTube and Twitch chats are a great way to do it.
So the Chiefs get the Bills on Sunday, and that kicks off the toughest stretch of the season. Undoubtedly. At Buffalo, bye week. At Denver, home to the Indianapolis Colts. And they will. The Colts will be coming off a bye week when the Chiefs play them. So, yes, the Chiefs get the bye going into Denver. But
although Denver gets a mini bye, don't they? They play a Thursday night the week before. So they get they get 10 days. It's not like you have a decided amount of rest.
And then the Colts have a full bye week, I believe. Now, they might be international the week before. So however you want to play that out. But they will be on a bye week before they take on the Chiefs. But the Colts next Sunday, I think, are in like Madrid or some one of the international markets. So that's something to keep in mind. And so we've done this exercise, bigger picture, what's the record? But what do you think they have to get to during that three-game stretch for a couple different things? What does the record have to be for you to believe that the AFC West is still right there? What's their record have to be where you think the number one seed conversation has to be there? I'm not going to even to make the playoffs because I don't think anybody's worried about that. So really, it's those two criteria. For me, starting with the number one seed, to stay alive in that conversation, I think we've been clear about what they have to do. They have to, in my opinion, for the one seed,
beat Buffalo.
Beat Buffalo. Split with Denver. So maybe it's this one. Maybe it's the one at home on Christmas night. And beat the Colts. So they could go 2-1 in this stretch as long as the two wins are at Buffalo and at Indy, in my opinion, for the number one seed. For the division, they don't have to go 2-1 to stay alive in the division. They would need to make sure they beat Denver and avoid going, of course, you know, an 0-3 stretch. I don't think anybody's worried about them losing all three of these games.
No, I don't. No, but like 1-2 would be pretty devastating to the division odds. So like we know the teams they have to beat in order to get. They have to beat Denver, maybe not in this stretch, but at least once somewhere along the way. They have to beat the Bills and they have to beat the Colts. So like they have to win 2 out of 3 no matter what. And specifically those two, as you mentioned, for the one seed, they have to win 2 out of 3, I think, to win the division. If you start looking at the other team schedules, the Broncos and the Chargers and the lead they already have on you, you're halfway through the season. You can't be giving up games at this stage, right? You can't be giving those up. And so if you do that, then you run yourself into a big trouble. My best guess is that they finish 2-3 in this stretch. That I love the way the Chiefs are playing. Win 2 out of 3. That they are playing really good football, consistently really good football, and that odds are they're better than two of these three teams and they'll beat. But the fact that two are on the road, one is a bye week, but not as big of a bye week advantage as they would normally get over Denver. One is at home, but the team is coming off a bye week in Indianapolis. Although maybe that's a rhythm team. Maybe them finally taking a week off actually hurts the squad.
Yeah, they'll be coming off an international trip.
So like that part could change it. I just meant like they're in a good rhythm right now. If I were the Colts, I wouldn't want to buy at all. I'm playing great football. Everything's humming along. I'm not so sure I'd want it. Now you can make the same argument for the Chiefs, obviously, in a week where they're playing their best. Is this a good time to be taking a week off? I would just argue for they now have an injury to Pacheco. So that's not the worst. They're waiting for their starting left tackle right to return to the team. That doesn't seem like the worst kind of time. And it's better than having it earlier in the year. No, this is going to be the most interesting stretch of the season, other than maybe the final couple games if the division's coming down to it, which we don't know yet, obviously.
Yeah, you got, we know they wrap up against the Raiders, which that them themselves will not be the issue, but that might be a game you have to win the West. It might be a game you have to win if you're actually still alive in the number one seed conversation. That stuff will sort itself out. But the path for the one seed, it's winning against Buffalo, it's splitting with Denver at some point this season, whether it's the first one or later, it is beating the Colts, it's winning the rematch against the Chargers. That is how you stay alive in the number one seed conversation. The division, I think it's just that you put a lot of pressure on yourself. If you were to lose to Denver in the second game of this three-game stretch, you start to really put yourself in a bad spot divisionally and force it to where then the Christmas Day game becomes a must-win if you're still in it even at that point in time. So
you'd be two full games behind Denver?
They would. Let's say both Denver and Kansas City win this week. Let's say Kansas City gets to 6-3. Denver would get to...
They take the Titans on or somebody, don't they?
Yeah, Denver would get their 7th win of the season, correct?
Yes.
Or, am I right on that or am I off?
They're 6-2 right now.
Yeah, so they get their 7th. And then you go into that game in Kansas City, all of a sudden Denver would pick up win 8. You'd be stuck at 6. Like you'd be in a little bit of trouble there chasing the Broncos.
Like, and we've talked about Indianapolis's schedule and New England's, which is really easy. Indy's is actually based on strength of schedule. It's closer to the top end of the league, depending on now I'll say the teams that are above 500 on their schedule, aren't as difficult. Like two of them are against the Jags. Okay, fine. That is a winning team, but it's not all things are created equal in the schedule department. They're at Houston today versus Las Vegas. The problem with the timing of that Denver Broncos game is, by the time this is why, in a weird way, it's like they all are not must wins, but for the things you have in play, the least important one is probably the Colts, because you could just accept, maybe we were never getting the one seed anyway, right? You could just chalk it up to they got more wins, they were going to get more wins. That one is, I honestly think, is the least important. The Bills one, because you want to stay ahead of them in the standings in case you ever have a 2-3 in the playoffs and you don't want to go to Orchard Park. Great. That one matters more. And Denver, obviously, so you're still a division winner at the end of this thing, does matter, because they could be, as you pointed out, at 8 wins before you face them. The maximum you can be at is 6. You win the game this week and you face them on, you're 2 wins behind in the column
before you
even face them. You know, like that Denver one's probably the most important of the three.
If you're saying most consequential, I would agree. I would agree with that. Buffalo and Denver would be more of that. Although, you know, I would make the same, in a weird way, I would say Buffalo and Indy, to me, it would be that while we have the rivalry with Buffalo, I would argue those both would then be the same, Buffalo and Indy. Because Buffalo Bills are battling for their division.
I guess if Patriots, I had to choose which one I'd have to face at home more, though,
100%.
I'd rather go to Indianapolis.
Without seeing the Colts, you know my feeling, I'm skeptical still on Indy, but if the Colts came in Arrowhead and beat up on the Chiefs, I think I would have to have a different perspective, you know, in what the Colts are capable of doing in this year, in this season, I should say. So it's going to be a hell of a three-game stretch for Kansas City, but it's so much of a different vibe if you can go and win at Buffalo and head into the bye at 6-3, because then if they're 6-3 and they're going to a bye week, and then I tell you it's a 2-game stretch and it's at Denver and it's home to Indy, and you're already at 6-3, you feel way better about the situation if they go to Orchard Park and beat Josh Allen on Sunday. We'll talk plenty more about the Bills in particular with Ross Tucker in about 20 minutes. And also later on in the week, we'll have our friends up from Buffalo, Mike Shope from our sister station, join us on the show, as we've had him join us, I think, twice a year, three times a year for the last 5 years. And every year we've been doing the show. That's how often these teams play. Now, the great news and the biggest development during the last month or so for the Kansas City Chiefs has been that Andy Reid discovered something. And I think he actually is enjoying the hell out of it. And I'm not worried about this like suddenly going away. And that is that Andy Reid is more aggressive than ever on fourth downs. I know we had some fun playing the audio clip a month ago where he's like, oh, no, we always go for fourth down. And we're like, no, you don't. But they are this year. And that's all that matters. I don't care how long it took to figure this out. Patrick Mahomes has been the quarterback for a while. But Andy Reid has discovered, you know what? This whole thing where we go for fourth downs with the best quarterback in football, I essentially have a cheat code. It basically is what the Chiefs have.
What
the
took him so long? We've been saying this for years.
It's a beautiful thing, though. It really is.
You know, I'm not going to take it for granted. I'm just going
to
enjoy it.
It is awesome to see. It really is a cheat code, though. It's kind of, you know, we would say about the Lions and how, you know, a team that has that kind of success on fourth down, or, you know, the Eagles, they got a cheat code with the tush push. I bring up the tush push only because the Chiefs have converted 10 fourth downs so far this year through 8 games. That is the most by any team since 2000. And if you're wondering, the other teams that had right around the same amount, as in 9 through 8, that'd be the Eagles last year. And that would be the Eagles in 2022. And again, what do the Eagles do, and why it makes sense if I told you that? They have the tush push. The Chiefs are doing this without doing QB sneak.
Like, it doesn't exist in their offense.
It makes it even more impressive. But they're doing it. They have the best quarterback in football. You got all these weapons now, full arsenal of Rice and Worthy and obviously Brown to go with Kelce and everything that you got. Short yardage back and Kareem Hunt, who's been awesome here. And we're going to talk about him more next hour. This is a cheat code, and they finally have recognized it.
So, yeah, rather than complain about how long it took to get there, I'm actually going to appreciate it for a minute, because there was a moment in this last game in which I finally was willing, Gold, to say, oh, no, they're actually going to do this all year. Because you remember earlier in the year, we talked about this with Kansas City, and we're like, well, they only do it against teams they respect. And then they do it against the Jags, and they'd go conservative, and they'd kick field goals, or they'd face the Raiders, and they'd go conservative, and you're like, you know what? I'm not, you know, like, not even them. They were a little more aggressive there. Where you're like, they're only going to do it against the teams they think they got to score against, like the Ravens or the Eagles. They're not going to do it against bad NFL teams, so we're not going to worry about it. And they're just going to do it the same rate they did before. This moment in this last game, 4th and 3 from the 3-yard line, I have covered the Chiefs as a radio professional for 10 straight years. I genuinely, other than in a moment in which they had to score a touchdown in the fourth quarter or overtime or in a playoff game, have genuinely think, I don't think Andy has ever gone for it in that situation. He didn't have to. He could have just taken the lead. It was by Andy standards, somewhat unnecessary 4th and 3 go for the touchdown moment, and he did it. And it brought me great joy, Gold, because that is a moment in which I do think the aggressiveness, especially with your defense, is worth it. Because that's the other part. The thing we said for years is he didn't go for it because, well, he just thought his defense is good, so he'll just kick the field goal and they'll keep him off the board. No, no, no. For the longest time, we said it's the opposite. Your defense is great. Trust him that even if you go for 4th and don't get it, they'll get the stop. So I do think it's here to stay. And I think the fact that they are this successful, they are the most successful offensive 4th down team on offense and defense.
Yeah,
they're good at stopping it and getting it.
Only giving up 20% of 4th down conversions on this season, which is the best in the NFL. And then on the flip side, as we said, you've got 10 successful 4th down conversions on offense, which is the most anybody's had in at least 25 years.
And that also ends up translating to these easier wins where Chiefs fans can take a deep breath and be like, you know what, I'm going to prop the feet up and I'm going to relax a little bit and enjoy this one.
Yeah, it's almost double dipping because you can you can utilize it on offense at the success rate they have, and then your opponents are doing and their opponents are not getting it. You're stealing possessions at this, and that is why we've seen in particular the last 3 weeks or so the wide margin of victory.
Yes.
The Lions, who were the epitome of going for fourth down over the last couple of years, they struggled again on fourth down against Kansas City that game. And then, I mean, the Raiders, we saw how that played out. And then this past week, Washington, they had the two turnovers and they went for fourth down on both of those possessions after, right? And they didn't get them.
I got to say, I think that this is the Jags game taught them a lesson. I think before that game, they were not doing it this way. They were going for it on fourth down against teams that they respected at a slightly higher rate than normal. They had amped up the aggressiveness, but they were still kicking field goals in spots I'd go for it, punting in spots I might go for it. They weren't showing this level. They were up 14-0. They had a fourth down they could have gone for. Up 14 against the Jags. Did not. They eventually let that lead squander away. The aggressiveness kind of got away, and they didn't. And they haven't for years. Buried a team when they could absolutely bury them. And it seems like either confidence-wise, because Kareem Hunt's the best short yardage back in the NFL, whatever it is, they have decided they have the personnel and the tools to do it,
yeah,
and they're doing it at a higher rate than I've ever seen under Andy Reid.
A couple things from the text line, 913-586-7965. Number one from the 913 says, hey, the whole league is going for it on fourth. Now, Andy is just keeping up with the league. I hear you, but I just referenced he's doing it at a better rate than anybody in the league, though. So even if you believe that, and it's true, let's say that, hey, he's just doing it to keep up with the Joneses, he's outpacing everybody. That's the whole point, is that they have 10 fourth down conversions. Nobody has had more through this part of the season in 25 years. So I don't think this is just, oh, he's in the wash with everybody else. No, they're doing it at a better rate than everybody else in the league. The other part that you mentioned, Kareem Hunt and the short yardage, how much of this also is still going back to the kicking game? That while publicly they're never going to say they're worried about Harrison Butker, and he is, thank goodness, for the last 2 weeks we haven't had to talk to about him because he hasn't either made a mistake, and they also have been scoring touchdowns on drives, and they haven't really been attempting field goals. But that's because they haven't settled for the 38-yard field goal because they've gone for these fourth downs. I think it's a combination of everything. It's trust in your defense. Mahomes is clicking. The offense is rolling. Kareem Hunt is doing his thing. All of it coming together, and maybe a little bit of, hey, let's let Butker figure this mental stuff out, because Dave Tobe said it was a mental thing more than a physical thing. So this has all led to us, if you're Andy, you're saying, being more aggressive.
We're going to put some teams away. I think they also, like, the record has a factor here, Gold, and a million other things. They know they got to put teams away and not let them back in the game. They let the Jags back in the game. The only loss they've suffered in the last six games, they've won 5 of 6, was a game they let a team back in, partially because of a lack of aggressiveness. Why do that? And again, some of this is they're doing it like they were still aggressive in this game, even though they had a lead, they were comfortable, they were staying aggressive, all this other stuff. They were still on a backup left tackle and a backup right guard. It didn't even, like, the offensive line didn't deter them. I think some of it's weapons. They know they're deep and versatile and a million other things, and that makes them very, very difficult. But like they've been the most successful team. They haven't gotten every single one. We've seen them go for it and fail. And then have to get a defensive stop, and it hasn't burned them. Maybe it just took a little bit of time. And this is the thing, like, you're saying Andy's keeping up with the league. I don't disagree, but, like, at the same time, he wasn't before.
And right now,
I've covered them for 10 years. He's not been trying to keep up with the league. He's been one of the lowest fourth down attempt teams in the league every year for a decade.
It feels like this is the rest of the league messed up. Andy figured out another way that he can achieve to be the best coach, because we already agree, like, Andy is the best coach in the NFL.
Yeah.
Now that he's going for it on fourth down, he's able to utilize his ability as a head coach to not only attempt more, but also convert more, where now the league is probably like, oh crap, this team is not only great because of Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, but now they're going for it. They're recognizing they should go for it more like we are, and they're converting at a better clip. This is what causes people, I think, to be really worried about this team come January and February, especially, you know, with the clip that they're converting these at.
So they have the 10 conversions, as we said, that's the most in 25 years. They have the third best conversion percentage in the NFL. There's a tie for first, New England and Indy, Both are converting at an 83.3 clip. The Chiefs are converting at 82.35. Cincinnati, 80%. They're the fourth best there. And then Philly.
Now they got to go for it all the time. You know?
Then Philly with the tush push, they're actually only converting at a 78% clip. Now, as far as how many fourth downs per game teams are going for it, the Jets, because they're down 2.4, along with Cleveland and Carolina.
Those are the worst teams in the league.
But yeah, then sure. Jacksonville and Atlanta, 2.1, Kansas City, 2.1, the Giants, 2.1.
And Kansas City, again, has blown out four of their last five opponents, five out of six, if you want to give them the Giants one, which was a 13-point win and not particularly close in the fourth quarter. So depends on if you want to give them that one or not. And they're still going for it at a higher rate than two-thirds of the league. Again, we looked this up maybe week two or three, historically, because Andy tried to say, we're always this aggressive, and we pulled it up, and we talked about it on the show, and I pointed out that Andy in fourth down attempts was, I don't know, on average, 24th in the NFL during the last 5 years. So just statistically not accurate. He is now not operating that way. I think some of it goes back to the same thing. I think it's because there's teams ahead of him in the division gold. I think there's because there's teams ahead of him and because he trusts the offense. I think it's like a combination of everything. I got Kareem Hunt. We're behind in the records. We're trying to put some teams away. We love how many weapons we have. I think it's a combination that's creating a perfect storm of going for it. I don't care. They're going for it, and it's working.
Coming up in 10 minutes, Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, going to join us. We'll ask him about this effectiveness on fourth down from Kansas City. We'll talk Chiefs-Bills with him in just a little bit. Yesterday, some news developed. A name that we had talked about a few times, Chiefs fans were keeping an eye on. He was cut by Kansas City, surprisingly, during the end of preseason. That was Mike Pinnell. Remember, he signed to the Bengals practice squad. Then he was elevated, played some games with them. I think he was a little banged up or whatever as well there. Jordan Schultz, and I think Fesco actually also had this yesterday, that the Chiefs today are bringing in Mike Pinnell because he was cut by the Bengals yesterday. It seems like one of those where like both sides just agreed to let me go kind of thing.
Yeah.
Injury settlement
this
type
happens
of thing.
All the time in the NFL.
He was granted his release, and now the expectation is, barring something shocking today when he visits, he's going to re-sign with Kansas City. No, I'm not acting like they just re-signed Warren Sapp, okay? However,
he is a fan favorite.
He's
though.
A fan favorite, and he's somebody that Chris Jones vocally 2 weeks ago expressed his desire to get his guy back.
We talked about it.
And yep. Maybe he plays seven snaps a game, but he can be effective in those seven snaps. He also doesn't hurt the vibes in the locker room kind of thing as well. I like this as long as it doesn't make them not go and still address the defensive line Tuesday.
I don't think that that's going to be the case, but you know what this is? I still think they'll try gold. This is a safety net. Let's say a deal doesn't come to fruition. Sometimes that occurs. We've talked about this with the Royals when they try to sign an off-season outfielder or whatever. Sometimes the best laid plans don't work out, although New England was busy as hell yesterday, seemingly shipping off all kinds of players out of their roster, so they must be making room for more players. But this is a perfect fit. He is a run-stopping defensive tackle. That's what they lost in Omar Norman Lott. And they've been one of the better rushing defenses team in the league, but also as pointed out by the text line earlier. Do you know what backs are getting ready to face? They're getting ready to face, I believe, the number 1, 2, 3, and 4 rushers in the, or number 1, 2, 3, and 4 rushers in the NFL.
Yeah, Taylor and Cook.
Over the next 4 weeks of their schedule. Because Javonte Williams is up at the top two. Here, let me look it up. Because I'm pretty sure it's the guys who are leading the NFL in rushing yards. So if you're telling me, even though they've been a very good rushing team, yeah, Jonathan Taylor, number one, 850 yards. James Cook, 753. Number two, J.K. Dobbins for Denver. Number three in the NFL at 634. And Javonte Williams, number four at 633. They're legitimately getting ready to face the number 1, 2, 3, and 4 rushers in the NFL over the next 4 weeks.
Yeah, good timing to get
5 weeks, but 4 games.
Good timing to get a run stuffer back on the team and Mike Pinnell. I'm assuming that'll become official later today, if not tomorrow. As the Chiefs get set to take on the Bills. Someone said the ramen in Cincinnati must not have been up to par. Thank you for that callback, Texter. If you listen to our interview with him from training camp a year ago, I think it was.
Yeah.
We were talking to him. He's a big foodie. He goes back to like, he said he goes
he got
like,
his KC ramen and then our Aussie friend brother.
Yeah, and I believe Mike Pinnell, did he say he goes to Tokyo like every summer or goes to Japan like every summer to go and enjoy some of the ramen as well. So yeah, maybe the ramen wasn't up to par in Cincy. He'll be able to get that taken care of. That was part of the selling point, I'm sure, to get him back to Kansas City. All right, up next, let's talk about the Chiefs and the Bills a little bit more. Also, what's happening in Indianapolis with our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker, next.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-thru burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. And with no long-term contracts required, you can change your setup whenever your business needs change. Protect your business with powerful features designed to keep you in complete control. Get round-the-clock audio-video recording for nonstop protection. Stop scrolling through hours of footage. Find almost any events efficiently with AI search. Keep an eye on up to 4 camera feeds at once across all your locations for total peace of mind. Get trained security professionals to monitor your business around the clock and request emergency when needed. Ring Business is easy to install yourself or let our professional installers do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Ring Business, business security that works for you. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Some news in the NFL during the break, according to Ian Rappaport, and of course, multiple people now at this point in time. Aiden Hutchinson, the very talented defensive lineman for the Detroit Lions, agreeing to a 4-year deal worth $180 million, $141 guaranteed. We're going to talk more about that in the 11 o'clock hour because we know George Karlaftis got a deal in the offseason. By no means am I saying they are the same type of player, but we'll take a look at the difference in some of the numbers and also right now, at least, where some of the pacing stats are for both of them. But let's welcome in our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide. For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side. I guess I will start with that news. I mean, you've had a chance, I'm sure, to call some games involving Aiden Hutchinson. This was a deal that I thought at one point they were hoping to get done before the season, but they get it done here before the calendar turns to November.
Yeah, and I can't believe you're saying Karlaftis is better than
Hutchinson. We're just saying that some of the stats this year are comparable.
I love that you said that because I joked exactly about that with Cody during the break. I said, we're going to have this discussion later, and I'm going to say that, and immediately someone's going to text into the show and say, so you're saying he's better than Aiden Hutchinson? So thank you for giving me a preview of the text line.
You know, I'm a huge Karlaftis guy. Huge Karlaftis guy. And they actually do have some similarities in the sense that I think that they are very good athletes. I don't think that they are elite athletes. I don't think they are, you know, Myles Garrett or Micah Parsons in terms of get off and ability to bend. What I love about those guys is they're so good with their hands. They rush with a lot of power and just absolutely relentless. And so I think that's something that anybody can appreciate. And by the way, so is Micah Parsons and Myles Garrett. Those guys are not stopped too. But it really jumped out when you watch, even like Monday night the one play in the run game where Karlaftis slanted inside and then he redirected to be able to chase down a run to the outside. I've always appreciated that game. I think I probably told you guys before, I called Karlaftis' game in the U.S. Army Bowl when he was still in high school and had a chance to talk to him then. So it's kind of cool just to, you know, meet a kid in high school and now he's in whatever he is in the NFL and playing at a high level. I thought that was, refresh my memory, he was a pretty late first-round pick, right?
Yeah, he was in the 30s, 31, or, I mean, or maybe it was like in the high 20s or low 20s because they traded up. That, it was that same year as that Trent McDuffie deal, 28.
Excellent pick by Veach at that spot. To get a guy like him at that spot, that is awesome. Hutchinson, you know, after that serious injury last year, I didn't think it made sense to do the deal before the season, really for either party, but he's come out and been awesome. And so because of that, I think that they wanted to reward him now, realizing it's probably only just going to go up.
You had mentioned Myles Garrett. Since you're a former player, I'll ask you real quick because it's interesting to talk about on the show. He's got the 5 sacks on Sunday. He was a dominant player. His team is miserable. They got blown out anyway. I find myself not feeling bad for Myles Garrett at all. He didn't have to sign with the Browns. He knew what he was getting in for. That's been the worst franchise in football the last 30 years. I don't feel bad for great players being on bad teams if they made the choice.
Well, that's exactly right, because he did make the choice multiple times. So, yes, he was at one point, you know, picked by them, number one overall, but he signed multiple contracts there. The other thing is, as bad as the Browns are now, okay, I mean, they did win a playoff game in 2020, and they were in the playoffs 2 years ago.
That's crazy.
So it's not like, I mean, there have been other organizations that have been worse than that or down worse. I mean, he's made the playoffs 2 out of the last 5 years. That, you know, cry me a river. I mean, I played with Taquio Spikes, one of the best players I ever played with. Taquio played 15 years, never made the playoffs one time.
And
he ended up playing on some good teams. Like, he was on the Eagles the 1 year they didn't make the playoffs. He was on with us in Buffalo 2004, which was supposedly one of the best teams to never make the playoffs, according to the statistics. So, I have no sympathy whatsoever for Myles Garrett. However, I will say I am incredibly impressed by guys like him. You know, some of the guys that I think are most impressive in the NFL would be like a Myles Garrett, a Max Crosby, Jeffrey Simmons. These guys that are on clearly bad teams that are not going anywhere and haven't for a few years, and they are double teamed often, and yet they lace it up every single week and bring it. That I got a lot of respect for those guys.
We're talking to Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider here on 96.5 The Fan. For multiple weeks now, we've been asking you about this offense who clearly looks like they're back. And the other element of it now is this fourth down aggressiveness that we really haven't seen from Andy Reid before, even with Patrick Mahomes. We were just discussing it to start our show today that Andy Reid has kind of figured out that he has a cheat code, which is make a defense stop you 4 times when you have Patrick Mahomes and all these weapons. And the Chiefs have converted 10 fourth downs so far this year, which is the most through 8 games since at least 2000.
I guess the one question would be to Andy, like, what took you so long?
I know. We've been asking for years, but you know what? I'm just going to be happy about it.
Yeah, no. I mean, the reality is, though, there's a lot of underlying statistics and metrics that will tell you that it is advantageous to go for it in a lot of these fourth down situations. What's interesting is that those numbers are primarily based upon, like, the average across the league. Well, when you have Mahomes and Travis Kelce, but especially Mahomes, you are way above the average. So they should actually be way more likely to go for it on those downs, on those situations, because their percentage will clearly be higher than the other teams that they're going against.
When you look at, like, I guess, Travis, you mentioned his season. He has statistically been good as any tight end in the league. You know, Tyler Warren's been talked about everywhere. He has as many yards, as many touchdowns, as many catches as a guy like that. Has his season nationally been a little undersold, considering the fact that he's doing it at his age?
I think it probably has. I mean, and like we've been saying for a couple years now, Travis Kelce just doesn't get enough attention. You know, he just doesn't get enough.
Yeah. That's only getting worse, you know.
He's really going under the radar these last couple of years. I forgot he played for the Chiefs. No, I mean, it is kind of funny that maybe some of the other stuff has overshadowed what he's doing. I'll tell you this much. I don't know if you guys have like the GPS stats or whatever, and maybe, you know, you can pull them up. I thought when they kept him in for pass pro, and then he leaked out and was a late check down for Patrick on the one, I thought he was looking pretty darn fast running down the sideline. I was like, man, I mean, you know, they had told me, I would say well-placed sources had told me that, you know, Travis was running as fast as he had in a while and that, you know, the GPS numbers backed that up. And, man, that was clearly the case. And I thought on that one catch against the Commanders. I mean, I don't know if he's lost weight or if he just the training, but he looked faster to me than he has in a while.
100% with you. Yeah, that was, I think at one point in the offseason, there was a report he had lost like 20-something pounds, and he talked about it, and he's like, well, not quite 20 pounds, but he definitely lost some weight in the offseason, and it's obviously paying off for him so far in 2025. Ross, the Chiefs get the Bills again. We've had you on for years. We've been doing this whole thing for years now with Chiefs-Bills like seemingly twice a year, and this go-around, I wonder if you've talked to anybody in Buffalo yet about this game, because, and we're going to have some guests on later in the week, where the Bills have won these regular season matchups at a decent clip, but we all know they haven't won in the postseason. We know it's Super Bowl or bust for them. It's Super Bowl or bust in Kansas City. I wonder, have Bills fans, you think at this point in time, recognize that like this game on Sunday, it matters for divisional and one seed, but they have to know at this point, like beat the Chiefs on Sunday, it really doesn't mean anything.
Well, you are in luck because I go on in Buffalo every Tuesday afternoon. So
right.
I already know what they think. Number one, there's some consternation right now because even though the Bills beat the Panthers by a lot, you know, they haven't really looked as good in the passing game or maybe on defense over the last month or so. And now they lost their best defensive lineman, Ed Oliver, likely for the season. So there's some consternation there. And then you add to that the Chiefs' offense looking better than it has in a really long time. And now you've got a concerned fan base. You know, it's funny because you're either a glass half full or a glass half empty person. And so, you know, if the Bills beat the Chiefs, you can look at it and say, love it. You know, we needed to prove that. You know, all those things. If you lose, certainly there's going to be Bills fans, the positive ones, that'll say, hey, that just gives us a better chance to actually beat them in the playoffs, which I don't know if that's true or not, but it does feel, I know you guys have the numbers. I know the Bills have never beaten the Chiefs in the playoffs. My recollection is that the Chiefs have only beaten the Bills one time in the regular season.
Correct.
I might be wrong. So I don't know. I kind of almost to the point now where I feel like, I mean, I know somebody's recording these segments somewhere, and we should just replay it every year, you know. WGR in Buffalo, 5 p.m. on Tuesday of Chiefs week, and 11:30 a.m. Eastern, 10:30 Central on Wednesday of Bills week in Kansas City, because the conversation is seemingly very, very similar. And I feel like that's rare in the NFL to have this long of an extended rivalry, extended series. I mean, you can probably count them on one hand. I mean, what other, on some level, it takes me back to like Steve Young, Troy Aikman, but were they playing each other in the regular season every year? Certainly Brady and Manning in when I was playing in the 2000s. That one is the most similar, but I feel like these guys, from a pure number of games and time situation, might end up being the longest.
It's starting to feel more like an NBA one, Ross. It's more like Magic and Bird, like where we just see them up against each other so often that you can't ignore the fact. And they do seemingly both play big-time games against each other. That's the part that always stands out against me. You usually get their best. On the Bills' defensive end, I do want to ask, they were kind of mediocre anyway. How much worse are they without Ed Oliver in your mind?
Well, he's by far their best D-tackle. Now, you know, they did get a couple guys off suspension, Ogunjobi and Michael Hoyt, and Hoyt was all over the place on Sunday. I mean, he had a sack and a half. He looked awesome. So maybe he can provide the spark that they need. I think they're holding out hope that Oliver can play in the playoffs. You know, it's interesting. I'm with you on Burton Magic. I think it's more of the Brady Manning thing.
Sure.
Because it's been so one-sided in the postseason. And, you know, finally, Peyton Manning in 06, you know, was able to break through. And I feel like, you know, I thought maybe that was the case with Josh Allen and the Bills last year. It didn't happen. Maybe this year will be the case.
Speaking of other quarterbacks in the league, what do you make of, let's take the team out of it for a minute. When you watch Daniel Jones play, what do you make about his play individually? Chiefs got him in a couple of weeks. We'll talk to you more about them then, but we kept waiting for the shoe to drop. I'm done there. I believe in the Colts. I think they're a very good team, but specifically his play, what is Daniel Jones doing so well?
Well, you know, he's really just operating the offense. You know what he reminds me of and they remind me of? He reminds me a lot right now of Jared Goff and the Lions a couple years ago. Remember, you know, the first year for Dan Campbell and Jared Goff, it really wasn't that great. And then the second year they got off to like a slow start, and all of a sudden it's like, holy cow, the Lions, like, they can't really be this good, right? And you kept saying that. Next thing you know, they're just that good, and they're in, you know, the NFC Championship game against the Niners, you know, a couple years ago. That's what the Colts feel like to me. People aren't going to really buy in until they play some tougher opponents and, you know, see if they have postseason success. But Jones is playing like Goff and kind of like Goff. They probably have the best O-line in the league. They definitely this year have the best running back in the league. You know, they are really operating on all cylinders right now, and they have by far the best point differential in the NFL. Interestingly, the Chiefs with 3 losses are second.
Yeah. Some of the numbers around the Chiefs are kind of staggering to see. There's some that are expected, and then there's some other ones that I think surprised quite a few people looking at based off their record and where they're at. Now, where are you headed this week? Are you going to Miami tomorrow or what?
You know, interestingly, no. I actually this week have a CBS doubleheader, which I've never done before. Saturday, I've got Army at Air Force at noon Eastern, 11 o'clock for you guys, actually 10 o'clock Mountain Time, which is, that's going to be the earliest the game has started in college football.
Yeah.
So 10 o'clock out in Colorado Springs, and I love those games for all the reasons. Everybody should love those games. And then I think there's one flight from Denver to Nashville. I'll be on it because I've got your L.A. Chargers against the Titans on Sunday. So actually it'll be back-to-back weeks where I'm seeing the Chargers, who – you know, they've done some impressive things. I mean, you know, obviously they beat the Chiefs in the opener. It's unfortunate how many injuries they've suffered, and I think they're in the same boat as every other year where people won't really believe they'll win a playoff game until they win a playoff game.
Right.
But, Herbert is he's like – I think you could argue Herbert and Josh Allen are like the two quarterbacks that are most built in a lab. You know, I don't know if you guys have seen Herbert up close. He's like 6'6", 235. He's legitimately fast, runs a 4.6. He's got a great arm. I mean, he's all of the things that you could put into a computer program, and then he's going to have to show it in the playoffs that he's got the ability to elevate a team there. Although I would also say I'm not sure he's had necessarily, you know, great teams around him in those games. And I don't know if he does this year either.
I feel like Gatson's been the biggest surprise for me on the Chargers end. I was like, they had him on the bench for 3 weeks and then just decided or realized he was a really good player?
Well, I mean, he's a rookie, fifth-round pick. And I think, you know, watching him, Cody, like, preparing for this game, boy, he struggles as a blocker. Not only physically, but it looks to me like he's making a mental error or two at least every game. So he probably did that in training camp in the preseason. They probably were real hesitant to put him out there. But then he's just such a good route runner and such a mismatch at that position that they just kind of had to. And, you know, they had some injuries or whatever. And now it's like, oh, man, we got to use him out there. And they can't only have him out there to throw it to him. So he's got to be out there for some runs. But I think that's why – I think he's like 235 pounds. I think that's why he didn't go to the fifth round and probably why he didn't play the first couple weeks.
Well, safe travels to Colorado Springs and then Nashville, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Can't wait to break down this game next week. Should be awesome.
Absolutely. There you go. Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. He joins us each and every Wednesday. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Good stuff as always from Ross Tucker. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we will talk about Jalen Moore, how he looked early the other night, how he finished the game, and a couple more details from one national reporter on the Josh Simmons situation. But it is that time of the week where we check in on some college football away from the locals. We already discussed them on Monday with it being game day and
that's
everything.
Right.
But what do we got?
All right, so there's two things I want to discuss in this little college football tidbit of the show.
Okay.
One of which is, this is that slate that I don't know if you guys remember before when the preseason rankings came out, your favorite thing, Alex Gold. We looked to this weekend as the big time slate. Don't bother me. I am locked in. It was number two Penn State, Ohio State number three, top 15 matchup Miami SMU, Arizona State, Iowa State, SC Ole Miss, K-State, Texas Tech, like all of
aged
it.
Horribly.
Georgia, Florida.
Horribly.
Georgia, Florida. All these matchups are ranked. There are like seven or eight top 25 matchups. Instead, we have this week two ranked versus ranked matchups, jeez, and those are Cincinnati and Utah. Everybody thought that one was going to be the case.
Yeah, can't wait. Barn burner.
Massive TV
you
ratings.
You got to love college football to watch Cincinnati and Utah.
There's
got to be Jay Binkley.
Cincinnati's good, but go ahead.
There's three. I apologize. Oklahoma, Tennessee, and then Vandy and Texas, who Texas is hanging
that's
on
fun, though. I like
to
one.
Being a top 25 team. But I think this goes to show, and it's not great for college football because it would have been more epic if we had all those ranked on ranked matchups. But I think it shows that college football and just college sports in general are just some of the most unpredictable sports that we have. There's unpredictability everywhere in sports, but nobody could predict that Cincinnati would be a top 20 team, that Florida would not be ranked, that some of these that Penn State would have fired James Franklin by this point. It makes college sports kind of epic in a way, and I think the slate isn't as good, but we can still appreciate college sports for just being kind of unpredictable and crazy, and that's what makes it somewhat fun to watch the same breath.
It has been a lot more of that this year. There's no doubt about it. No, I like parity in any given league. I will say, if Cincinnati gets past Utah, I think they might win the Big 12.
The only question,
I mean,
it's understandable.
Kind of feels like they're going to win the Big 12, maybe, which is certainly not what they were projected to be.
Texas Tech was the front runner. They've dealt with some injuries now, obviously. Mm-hmm. And the question to me is now, is it Cincinnati or is it BYU coming out of the Big 12?
They face each other in November.
I think that those two might be currently the best teams. Texas Tech, I just think the injuries have finally got them a little bit.
Their starting quarterback supposed to be back, Morton, but because it was the backup quarterback tore his ACL, he's done. The starter was already out, but he's supposed to be back. Mm. Obviously, with Morton, they're amazing. So if he can stay healthy, maybe Tech hangs in there. But it seems like it's not a three-horse race necessarily because there's still a lot of time left, but those three certainly are there. The other thing that I wanted to discuss a little bit was celebrating the little schools a little bit. The American Conference. If you're a college football crazy person like Bink and I, and you love college football, the American Conference is the best group of six conference, hands down. USF, Memphis, Tulane, all the bigger names. Navy's the undefeated team out of the group that could make the college football playoff. And, you know, thinking about Navy being in, not that they could win a game, but stylistically, the option, the way that they do things, the American's the best conference. And if you want to find a random conference to watch because you don't want to watch KU or K-State or the game's not on, you want to watch something, then try to pay attention to those American conference games, you know, with Tulane and USF and Memphis, who just knocked off USF this past weekend. The Memphis Tigers did after they lost. So also Missouri State is 4-3 on the year.
That's your squad. Drew has adopted Missouri State.
They come into the FBS, and all of a sudden, they're on the potential of winning six games. They're not bowl eligible because of that stupid rule. that the NCAA has.
Definitely
but,
stupid.
Is the Navy
but Ryan
still,
Beard's doing a nice job.
Is the Navy still running triple option or like what's their deal?
Oh, yeah.
God, they're sticking with it?
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to see that in a college football play. You know, it's one throwback. Who cares?
No, I love it. I love the fact
option.
That I love the fact that they haven't gotten that. That's the whole, I mean, the fact that we get Army-Navy at the end of the year. Now, I unfortunately don't think Navy's going to be there at the end for the college football playoff. They still have Notre Dame and Memphis.
I mean,
if they beat Notre Dame and Memphis, then Navy, I mean, at that point, anything can happen.
I say that Memphis-Navy game might be the play-in game because James Madison, you have to watch as well for the playoff spot.
But, can Navy beat Notre Dame, though?
But it's the highest-ranked conference champ. So that Navy-Memphis game could be a play-in game to guarantee a spot in the American title game, which, as a result, gets you into the playoff. I do think, Cody, Navy would have no shot of beating a team in the playoff. However, I do think for a half, they could really scare somebody because let's say they play Ole Miss in the first round. Ole Miss, they don't play triple option teams. I think for a half, Navy could make it interesting.
Does Notre Dame, like, just going back to like one of the big boy schools for a minute, does Notre Dame have the least impressive resume of any of the teams?
Their resume is not good.
Their
resume is not good, but if they were in a conference, they would be in the college football. They would win the ACC.
But they're not. They chose that path.
I understand.
They'd win the ACC. They already lost to Miami.
Ironically, though, I think they're a better team, especially based on what we've seen the last 3 weeks. They're better than Miami is. So
the last 3 weeks, they've beaten Boise State, a team that fell way off, NC State, and I guess at least USC.
Boise State's tied atop their conference. But if Navy and Memphis slip up, Boise State can still sneak in and be the top group of
who
six.
Knows?
No.
Absolutely.
James Madison is also the team to watch in the Sun Belt.
You said no? If Navy were to lose to...
Can you be a two-loss Boise State team and be in the college football playoff?
If the other teams lose. Remember, it's the highest-ranked conference champ. They have to win their conference.
I will say, the fact that the Mountain West is not as good as the American doesn't hurt. It doesn't help their chances. But, yeah, you know, which I think is what makes this race... As fun as it is to watch the top teams, I think it's just as fun to watch these smaller teams play because... There are four or five teams in different conferences vying for one single spot.
I think the fact that they could be in the college football playoff does make me more interested in watching them, no doubt.
I do think also having a play-in game, though, can you imagine a four-team play-in? Let's say Memphis, Navy, James Madison, and Boise State. You have a four-team play-in, the winner goes to the college football playoff. I think that would be fun during the conference championship weekend.
But then you're asking to play an extra game on top. You're saying get rid of the conference championship game and do that instead.
If they expand,
that'd be sick.
When they expand to 16, that should be what they do to find that group of five spot. You know, I think it'd be fun.
That's exactly what you said you'd hate about college basketball is making all the little guys play in a play-in game tournament before they play.
They already kind of do that though anyways.
All I'm
with
saying
the
is like
68.
You did say you'd hate that for college basketball. It's different football, admittedly, but
I think it's different.
All right, up next, guys, let's talk about Jalen Moore, how he looked on Monday Night Football, and some new details from one national reporter about Josh Simmons and the potential timeline. That's next.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. No long-term contracts required, just security on your terms. Take control of your business security with Ring Business. Get 24/7 audio video recording to capture everything and look for specific moments efficiently with smart AI search. Install it easily yourself or let our pros do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground, but Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARC and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARC Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5,
Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
For Champions League. Every moment is a story.
Paris Saint-Germain have won the Champions League.
And every great story needs an audience. Feel every match.
Mbappe in the middle.
Every goal.
Oh, would you believe this?
From the best clubs.
Real Madrid strike.
And the biggest stars.
Bukayo Saka scores.
This is the world's best soccer.
Momentous and iconic.
The UEFA Champions League. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.